This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Titleist Golf Balls. Often lauded as the number one ball in golf, Titleist has long been known for their exceptional performance, quality, and innovation. Their identity as a top golf ball brand is well established in their Pro V1 lineup and have continuously grown their supporting cast of quality golf balls to suit every golfer's need. For more information on Titleist Golf Balls, visit www.titleist.com.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, everyone, to a brand new episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is Mr. Rick Oldak from Big Max. He's the CEO of Big Max USA. Rick, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, now we've seen your bags on THP. I actually did a review on, I believe, an Aqua Dry a number of years ago. And obviously, you make great products and you're very considerate of the different types of elements that people play in. But let's start with you and get a better understanding of who Rick is and how you came to be involved with Big Max.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been in the golf industry my entire career, essentially since I was a young assistant golf professional in New England, and was fortunate enough to land a job in the sales group for Dunlop MaxFly in the late 70s, and worked in that capacity in the Midwest, largely in Illinois and Indiana, traveling around the cornfields, purveying my gear. But I was really lucky that later in life, the gentleman who hired me into the MaxFly organization was the national sales manager at Lynx Golf. And he brought me into Lynx Golf Company in the mid-80s. And I got into the management team and wound up managing global sales for Lynx for quite a long time, up until about 1996. So I've been in the equipment business most of my career. I had a really good piece of fortune when Jesse Ortiz, who is the CEO of Orlemar Golf, contacted me in 1998. And I worked with him to launch the Orlemar Tri-Metal into the market, which was an enormous success. We had the Tight Lies and the Tri-Metal were the two competing fairway wood brands. And that was a lot of fun. It was an incredible experience to grow a business that rapidly. So we learned a lot from that. But it was really what put Pro Shop Sports, which is my company, on the map. And so today, Pro Shop Sports, we manage key accounts, national accounts for a number of different brands. That's how I got into the Big Max organization. They contacted me to inquire if I wanted to manage national accounts for them. And that evolved into a more closely managed relationship where I'm now responsible for the entire business entity.
So how long exactly has Big Max been in the USA? I know it's pretty heavy in Europe and there's a lot of success that kind of has built off that. What's it look like from a USA perspective?
So Big Max in Europe started in 1994. They've been around quite a long time, and almost 30 years now. And they were the first three-wheel push cart to launch in Europe. Right around 1997, 98, they launched the Ti 1000.
And you say, so just to stop you there, it's not just a matter of launching. What I read was that a man had decided to weld a third wheel onto a standard cart. Is that correct? You know, one of those guys who has nothing better to do in the old winter nights of European winters, yeah?
Yeah, there's probably a number of different iterations of that lore. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And but I think the concept of a three-wheel push cart in Europe was the foundation of Big Max. And today, Big Max has a market share in Europe that is bumping up against about 50% in push carts and electric carts in the European marketplace. That's a very strong market share. And on the back of that, they launched their rental carts, the Fleet 333 carts, which are the go-to rental fleets at St. Andrews and a number of different really high-end, very well-known facilities throughout the continent in the UK. Our carts, our rental carts are now also available at Chambers Bay. They're available at Pinehurst. So we've penetrated some of that market in the U.S.
That's interesting. and I'm looking at the carts right now and have been reviewing them a little bit prior to the call. And what seems to me is that the focus is on some sort of durability combined with lightweight performance and just pure functionality over size. And it just doesn't, what I'm basically saying is I don't think the footprint is offensive in total for a lot of the designs. Is that pretty fair?
I think it is. I think it's really indicative of the European design aesthetic, right? I mean, you look at the way European cars are designed, Porsche, BMW, Mercedes. I feel personally that the Big Macs push carts are in that genre of design. It's functionality, it's aesthetic, it's innovation. And so what we've done is we've created a line of push carts that fold flat, less than 5 inches when they're folded. They weigh about 14 pounds, so they're ultra light, but they're incredibly durable because of the way the axles are designed, the way the wheel components are designed. They really are a very, very unique product. And I think that we're starting to gain some traction here in the United States on the back of that kind of innovation.
It's sort of understanding that people appreciate the space they have and they don't want to use it up on a cart. And what it looks to me is you actually have alternative forms of, so if someone is purely looking for functionality and a very small footprint off the course, they have that option, but they also have additional options that are a little bit more robust and maybe a little bit more sturdy, like the IQ Plus or something like that.
Yeah, the IQ Plus is a pretty traditional design. It folds down into a cube. Again, we use really incredibly sturdy materials. The AutoFold FF is a flat fold cart that, in my view, is like more like a workhorse. It's a little heavier, but it has design elements that I think it's the last cart you'll buy. So okay. we feel really secure in our products. We offer a 5-year warranty on our push carts, which is well in excess of what other brands offer in terms of a warranty. And I think that as a result of that, you know, we're starting to see Big Macs appear in a variety of different assortments at some of the golf specialty retailers like Golf Galaxy, PGA Tour Superstore, as well as the things that we're doing with the local golf shops.
Okay. Yeah, we have not Big Macs carts at my course, and I refuse to use them as a borrowed feature because they just the durability just isn't there over time. And I mean, these carts get beat up eventually, but looking at the AutoFold as an example, the FF version or maybe the Blade Quattro, when someone goes to buy that, you said it's the last cart they want. Are we talking like this is the one for the next X number of years of their life? Like what sort of durability can people expect when they buy a product like this?
Well, if you look at push carts, you know, they have a lot of moving parts. So there's a maintenance issue to anything that has that many moving parts. But, you know, we have very little returns. We have very little warranty servicing issues that, and in the 4.5, 5 years that I've been here, it's been less than 1%. So that's a really nice statement for the durability and the quality of the product line. Is how well is it doing in the market?
So I'm going to ask a question that I know is typically easier to answer from someone in the U.S. than it is in Europe. How much fun can you have with colors when you're considering designs for either these or even your bags? Like, I know that the European mentality is a little bit more, I don't want to say classy, that stuff, or casual, or that's also not a good word. More refined, I think, would be the best way. You have your standard color palettes, whereas the U.S., it seems like, every other person is a 20-something who wants pink and blue on the same cart or the same bag. You know, it's a lot more wild here, I think, is a good way of putting it. Do you have that freedom to do more here than there, or are you trying to cross-platform that a little bit between the two?
Well, I think in order for us to take advantage of the magnitude of the supply chain that Big Max offers us, those are tremendous advantages. Where we, for example, in 2020 and 2021, there was a shortage of golf bags and push carts in the U.S. marketplace, and it was incredibly evident that that there was a demand that was exceeding the ability to supply, not only from our brand, but from every other brand in the market. Because we are owned and operated by the largest pushcart manufacturer in the world, we were able to tap into some of those supply shipments that were earmarked for Europe and redirect them to the United States. We doubled our business in 2020. We doubled it again in 2021 as a result of being able to get products into the country. So the side benefit of that is that now you have a larger installed base of consumers that are using Big Max products, which gives us the opportunity to have that sort of organic growth from one player to another, you know, positive reinforcement of the quality and the performance of those products. So our business has now stabilized a bit, and we have enough product in the market that we're starting to see that organic referral from one golfer to another.
Yeah, I love that. The other thing that is fascinating to me, I think 37 now. I always forget how old I am, but when I was younger, or at least a teenager, push carts weren't seen as a viable alternative to carrying. You either carried or you carried. Like, that was the perspective. If you didn't, you were kind of treated like a bit of a wuss, if you will. That has obviously changed dramatically. And even from my own perspective, I would so much rather push now based on the benefits of not having to lug the bag around. Are you seeing that trend? I'm not sure you could actually know what age groups are buying or are interested to buy, but do you think the trend in push carts is getting a bit younger as the years go by?
I think that's a very good point, Dan. The demographic is skewing younger all the time. We have been a sponsor of the AJGA. We're a sponsor of the High School Golfers Association. We're seeing young players, high school age, college age. We are involved in both the Women's Golf Coaches and the Men's Golf Coaches Association at the university level. We outfit a number of teams in the NCAAs. We work with, for example, Duke and UCLA, USC, and some others. And we work with a lot of smaller colleges as well. So you're seeing not only the women's teams, but the men's teams starting to push. When you think about it, you know, golf is becoming a half a shot around can make a huge difference to whether a team wins an event or not at that level. And so a half a shot around, when you're coming down to 16, 17, 18, and you have a little bit of an advantage because you've been pushing instead of carrying, that performance, you know, it could make a difference. And I think college coaches are recognizing that, as well as the players themselves.
So I actually, we're recording this on a Monday, which is an interesting day to record for me. But I had the Women's Sunbelt Tour Day 2 on right now, the tournament that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of funny that they're stuck on the same couple holes, it looks like, just showing enough to give us some feedback of what's happening. But every single woman a lady that runs through is using a push cart. All kinds of different versions of, and you know, I've always been thrilled to see that because it's such a smart thing to do, and I've always encouraged my guys, like, if we're not in a riding cart, why are we carrying these bags? Like, our bags are heavy, you know. It seems like the adaptation for the women's side of it has been so strong, and I love to hear, is that a big reason why you're so involved in the college aspect of it, is to sort of introduce these, or even high school, to introduce these folks, that these younger generations, like, look, this is an option. It should be an option, and you gain from it.
Yeah, I think for sure. The other thing that I think is important to note is when you're playing golf, whether it's a social round or you're playing with your club buddies or you're in the competition, golf is mostly played between the ears. Right. And so when you're walking, you have more time between shots and you're specifically going along, but you can have conversations with your playing partners. If you're in two carts, you can only interact with one person, the person you're riding with. And you typically go to their ball first, then you have to go to your ball. So there's a lot of this interference in your mindset. I think people play better when they walk. And I think it's just instinctive that you start to think about what your next shot is going to be while you're approaching your ball. So you're prepared more quickly. So you play faster, even though you're walking, you finish the round in a shorter time frame, but you're also playing better and you're getting more into the sport from a mental perspective. I think that's critically important in competition, which is why I think you see a lot of these young players pushing instead of caring. So to me, it just makes sense that if you have an opportunity to walk, not only from the health benefit, but from enjoying the game itself. And why is golf so loved by everyone? It's a very hard game to master.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I realized that this weekend playing in wind, but you have a lot of pundits or opposition to using a push cart that would say that golf takes longer to do it. And I think there's fairness in that. If you are a twosome or a foursome playing in carts and playing quickly, you can certainly get around faster, but there's a confine of which you can do. And I've been playing golf for nearly three decades or maybe three decades at this point, and I could only tell you a small window of those rounds, maybe 10%, where we weren't stopped by someone in front of us. So the idea is you can only go so fast. And the nice thing I've always found about walking, especially when it's busy on the course, is you're doing a whole lot less hurry up and wait kind of thing. And I've been thrilled by that, the fact that it takes a little bit longer to get to your ball, even though by the time you're there, you're probably ready to hit. And the understanding that once you've hit, you're going to be waiting on whomever's in front of you anyway. It's kind of all about getting there, right?
Plus, I think you, if you're on top of the group in front of you and you're in a cart, you're disturbing them too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's
because now they're feeling pressured that they're not playing fast enough. If you're walking, you sort of pace yourself. It becomes way more enjoyable. That's just been my experience. So
that's interesting, because a lot of golf that I've seen, especially as at least weekend golf from an age group that elevates to like middle age into let's say starting in maybe the 30s or 40s in age, there's an intent to get through it and get done. But there's also an understanding that you want to get going as fast as you can. Whereas I think I'm trying to point this. It just seems like the mentality is less on the actual walk and the experience and more on that, like, let's just get this done. And I've never really understood that, but I recently jumped onto the Titleist website to see what kind of golf ball would suit my game the best. I found their quick guide extremely helpful as a starting point, as it showcases spin and launch characteristics of their Pro V1 and AVX offerings. But I decided to take it a step further and actually did their super easy to use golf ball selector tool. After answering a handful of questions that reflected my game and what I want from my golf ball, I was fitted the AVX with an alternative in the Pro V1. That's perfect for me, considering I'm always chasing a slightly lower ball flight with reduced iron spin. Give the fitting tool a look for yourself over on Titleist.com to see what kind of golf ball best suits your game. I want to kind of circle that back on your playing experience, because you're not just looking at this from the outside in. You've been in golf for a long time. You are a golfer. It sounds like you're a pretty good golfer at that. So do you think this perspective is shared by a lot of people? And let me add on to that. If you do have regular groups of golfers who you play with, do they share that same mentality as you?
I think yes. I think players who are serious golfers, everybody has a different reason for wanting to play golf, right? But the players who are serious about it, I think most of those guys, if they had a choice, they would prefer to walk. I think that facilities have some pressure, financial pressures, to get carts out onto the golf course because it's a big revenue source, and I totally respect that. I think that everybody has to, they have to run their business the way they run it. But I think that if more facilities offered the opportunity to walk when they were playing, particularly resorts, because I think most private clubs, you can do whatever you choose to do. But the resort golfer, they generate a tremendous amount of revenue from their driving carts. So, but I think it's a personal preference, right? And but for me, walking is a much more enjoyable way to experience the game.
Do you think that walking is more welcomed or conditioned in a different parts of the day? Like, let's compare a Saturday morning to a Thursday evening as an example.
Well, I think on Thursday evening, if you're a twosome and there's nobody in front of you, you want to run and get done, right?
Okay.
But I think I don't think it necessarily has any impact on whether you're going to finish the round in under 4 hours and 20 minutes, which is about the time frame that a round of golf should take.
Yeah. I have a challenge for you, and this is a very personal one for me. And you can either decide not to answer or answer as far as you want to go. And here's how I present it. I belong to a private golf course here in Cincinnati, and we have riding cart rules all day before 2 p.m. on the weekends. And then after that, you can walk. But they also don't allow us to bring our own push carts. We have to use and rent their push carts. Do you think that's reasonable? Do you think that's insane?
I think I'm going to refuse to answer that one.
Yeah, I don't blame you. You know, the challenge for that is I think it sort of separates a younger generation from gaining that understanding. And certainly if you go play elsewhere in the region, the freedom to take your own cart, the freedom to get comfortable with your own thing. It's like asking to borrow a golf bag. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to borrow a push cart either. But what I like about places or groups like Big Macs is you have so many different styles that someone can pick from. You can have a four-wheel cart. You can have a three-wheel cart. You can have one that's huge and robust and awesome, or you can have one that's sleek and fits in your car as easy as possible. You can pick different colors. These are all things that a lot of people really like, and especially the younger generation. If you provide them that sort of customization, I think they get a little bit more excited about it. Is that
we have a whole host of accessories that we offer as well. I mean, yeah. We have rangefinder holders, cup holders, umbrella holders, all kinds of accessories that fit onto the board that we use, the actual where you push the cart from. We have all of these quick fix and quick locks adapters where you can accessorize the cart in whatever way you want. And I think that's really kind of an interesting thing, because if it's raining, you know, or it's really sunny in Southern California, hardly ever rains, but you know, it gets pretty sunny. And if you're sensitive to the sun, you want your umbrella up. And so having the ability to accessorize the cart, I think, is a big deal. I think it really has some advantages.
Yeah. I obviously I need as much umbrella time as I can based on my skin. Let's talk about your golf bags a little bit, because I do have some experience with the Aqua. The one thing I notice, and this seems to be a very Euro perspective in it, whether it's soft goods or whether it's apparel or whatever it may be, is it seems like they're always ready for a storm of weather, some kind of disaster in the way they consider their golf bags. And I mean, obviously Aqua, by the name Aqua Sport, you know what you're getting. It's likely the most waterproof thing that you'll have that day. What is the drive there to be so ready for any type of element?
Well, I think it's climate in Europe. It rains a lot there. So in the UK, if you don't play in the rain, you probably don't play much golf, right? So I think that our objectives with the golf bag line, and it's curious, we now have over a 30% market share in golf bags in Europe, and that's tremendous. But we started out really to, again, create something that was different and a bit unique. So we have a dry light line, which is what we call water resistant, but it's the same waterproof fabric that the Aqualine uses, and we use waterproof zippers on the Dry Light as well as on the Aqualine. The difference, the big distinction really, is that we heat seal the seams of the Aqualine so it's impenetrable. You can play in a gale and nothing's going to get wet inside your bag. The Dry Light line is essentially waterproof, but we don't heat seal the seams. So the price point is a little lower on the Dry Light line, but you still have all of the advantage. And unless you're playing in a torrential downpour, you're going to be waterproof. Your gloves are going to stay dry. Everything inside the pockets is going to stay dry. And we have a, even on the Dry Light, we do heat seal the valuables pouch, the valuables pocket, so that your phone and your other valuables will not get wet. And so, I think we've designed this golf bag line to fit on push carts primarily, although they fit beautifully also on riding carts. We've designed the stands so that they don't twist, they're out of the way. If you put them on a riding cart, they're not going to bang up against the back of the cart. So we've incorporated a lot of the design elements that we used in our push carts. The same type of thought process went into our golf bag line. We have ultra lightweight. I mean, our most popular stand bag is the Dry Light Hybrid and the Dry Light Hybrid Sport. Both of those bags weigh under 4.5 pounds. They have 14 weight dividers. They have, you know, an abundance of pockets. So you can go out and play in any inclement weather in the winter or summer and have all your gear stored inside the bag, but it doesn't weigh very much. So you can carry it if you want to, you can put it on a push cart, or you can hook it onto a riding cart. And you have, that's why we call it the hybrid bag, because you can do both.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the cart bags, because it seems like you've taken every possible option and applied it to these bags. Like when I had the Aqua cart or the Aqua Sport in my for use in my bag, shout out to my dad who gets to use it now all the time. He got a hand-me-down there, but there was the cooler pocket, there was the valuables pouch, there was the this huge putter well. I mean, it seems like you took every possible consideration. There's something in the inside to cover your rangefinder. There's so many different pockets. Is there a time when you decide, like, we've put enough into this, we want to just relax a little bit, or is it, can we put as many possible things to help golfers into a single bag that's feasible?
Well, I think you have to continue to evolve as a company. Your products have to evolve with you. And so we are already working on 2024. The 2023 bag line is already put to bed. It's already been signed off on. We have some really great bags coming down the pipeline. But our, you know, if you look at a cart bag is really designed to be on a push cart or a riding cart. So the pocket configuration, not only how many pockets you have, it's where they're located that becomes really important. You want to have accessibility. You want to be able to get into, you know, whatever it is you're looking for in a very short period of time. So the functionality, we want it to be stylish. So we try to create an aesthetic that is really pleasing and very cool looking. It has a European, you can tell our Dry Light and Aqua bags, you can, just looking at them, you know they're European because of the way the design elements are configured. So I think that gives us a little bit of a cool factor, and we're seeing a lot of young golfers really gravitating to our golf bags because of that, I think because of the design aesthetic.
So when it comes to the stand bags then, because usually I would say more often than not, stand bags lean into that younger crowd. It's certainly been the case for me and my friends growing up. You don't seem to have a ton of options for that sub 14 category. Is there a reason why you lean so heavily on the 14 ways at the top, or is that just how it's kind of come to be?
Yeah, I think our European bag line is very extensive. I mean, we have, they have a much more extensive golf bag line than we do in the US. because we're just starting to get going in the United States with our golf bag business. Okay. We have to be a little bit careful that we don't overextend our ability to supply. And so we've made some choices. But speaking to your point, we have introduced the Dry Light 7 model, which is really a really cool sort of smaller, more compact stand bag. And we're launching the Feather in July. So we have a ultralight, really very cool, very lightweight, smaller stand bag that is going to be on its way to us in midsummer.
And
so we recognized that we were missing something.
Yeah. So you said Dry Light 7, and I definitely took a look at that because 14 is usually not my preference. I usually lean on somewhere between a 4 to 6. But then I see this, that's 3.7 pounds. That's a great weight location. Yeah. Now you're talking about something even lighter coming out.
Yeah. And the 7 has a 4-way divider. So it's not just a 3-way divider. It has a cooler pocket. It has all of the features that we could fit into that 7-inch bag without making it weigh too much. So, you know, lightweight is critical in a stand bag, in my view. And so we do want you to be able to fit all 14 clubs in there. We don't want you to have to take half a set to the golf course. So we've tried to incorporate all of those design elements that we feature in our 14-way divider. But again, if you look at the 7, I mean, it's a great looking bag. It really has a great shape. And it has all the functionality that you could possibly want.
It's got some of those Sunday vibes, if you will.
Well, yeah, it's a little bigger than a Sunday bag, though. So.
Yeah, yep. So you have a pretty wide range of accessories, too. I'm assuming you're extremely familiar with all the products in your lineup. Is there one accessory you'd say someone who's getting into the brand would definitely want to have to add to either just a bag in general or to a push cart?
Well, I think on the push cart side, we have, if you're in the winter climate, we have a mitt warmer that we happen to be out of stock on it right now, but it's a mitt warmer. You can put hand warmers inside. So if you play in colder climates and you're pushing, while you're pushing your cart, your hands can be warm and toasty inside this little mitt.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's very cool. Yeah. It's a really great product. And then obviously the things that we touched on before, we have a range finder, a GPS holder. We have the sand bottle holder. So if you're playing a private course, you want to fill your divots, you should have a sand bottle holder on your push cart. So those are the things that they're more utilitarian in a way, but I think they're really important. And that's how I see the accessory part of the business.
You know, I kind of had a good laugh when I looked at the drop stop rain system, which is, you know, all encompassing rain cover that wraps your entire golf bag on one of your golf carts.
And if you're in the Pacific Northwest, that's probably pretty important.
So I was going to say, what kind of condition do you have to be in where you need the drop stop? But I mean, it's one of those things where once it's on there, you can play in just about anything, especially with the mitts in there too.
Yeah, if you think about it, right? You do want to, if you're playing in inclement weather, you have to have the ability to keep your stuff dry. It's impossible to play golf with wet golf clubs. So yeah, so the rain system is great. We have a smaller version of that as well. That is more compact. It's easier to get on and off, so you can use it intermittently. But those are all important accessories.
Do you have anything that you prefer from either a cart or bag perspective? What do you normally use?
Well, I use a Dry Light Hybrid Tour bag. I think it's really good. It delivers on all of the things that I need. And if I'm in competition, you know, it's lightweight. Sometimes I ride, sometimes I walk, depending on what the event is. But I play most of my golf in competition today. I don't play a lot of social golf. But
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're just that kind of guy, are you?
It's just the way things have worked out for me.
I love that. Can you share a bit more on what you're doing with that in terms of a competitive goal?
Yeah, so I play in the California senior amateur events, both in Northern and Southern California. There's about 10 to 12 events a year that are really good. There's some great senior players out here in the state of California, so the competition is stiff. But I play both in the senior and super senior ranks. I still try every year to qualify for the U.S. Senior Amateur. Haven't made it yet, but I keep working on it. You have to really go low to get into that one. So, but that's pretty much the golf that I play.
Wow. And so speaking California in general, is there a can't miss golf course there that someone hasn't already talked about that you'd recommend?
You mean that people can actually get on and play?
Yes.
Yes. Pasatiempo is a really wonderful place. It's up in the Santa Cruz area. I also Mission Viejo Country Club, where I was a member for about 10 years, I think is a fabulous golf course. Very difficult. They call it Mission Impossible, but it's a wonderful layout. You know, it's a right in the middle of Orange County, so it's accessible. It is private, but it's a great track. And then obviously Torrey Pines. Can't go talk about California without Torrey Pines or Pebble Beach or Spyglass or any of those.
So in terms of ranking the most common tour stops in California, you have your Pebble, your Torrey, your Riv. Is there one that really stands out to you when the tour gets there?
I just think Torrey Pines is magnificent, and that tournament is always exciting. It's so okay. Difficult. Those guys really get tested there. So and you can tell. I mean, they've had a couple of U.S. Opens there in the last 10 years. So
yeah, rough got a little bit gnarly, as I recall. So, well, that's great. What's kind of next for Big Max USA? What is the big story here? Are we going to see more product? Are we going to see different types of product, or is it basically mission forward as it is?
Yeah, I think we have a couple of new carts that are in the design stage at the moment. We are really thrilled with the progress that we've made with the Blade IP. I think that's our flagship push cart. It's a three-wheel Blade version, very lightweight, really, really incredibly cool design. So we're gonna ride the Blade IP a bit longer. We're doing really well with it. The Autofold FF as well is doing great. So those are the two flagship cart models, in my opinion. So we're going to do that. I think ultimately we're going to introduce some electric carts down the road. We have a couple of models in Europe right now that are doing quite well. We have to be careful with electric carts because they require certain U.S. regulations that surround the batteries and things of that nature. So we have to go very carefully and cautiously as we introduce those products. There's also more maintenance requirement. We are using a fulfillment company in Kansas City. They do a lot of work for Harley Davidson as well. And so if we do introduce those, we would have to have the capability to conduct any repairs, any warranty, because electric motors require a little bit more handling than regular push carts do. So, but I do think we'll do that. Maybe in 2024, we'll launch a line of electric motorized carts, which I think will be good for us.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up, was whether we'd see that. Is obviously a trend that's grown over the last couple of years, and certainly not what I remember when I was a young golfer, the versions of electric carts, which didn't seem to have too much going for them at the time. But, you know, it's great to see you're looking forward, and I think based on everything here, I mean, functionality, fashion, it's all there for folks to go and enjoy it if they give you an opportunity. Is there anything you'd want to say to a golfer who's trying to make a choice on a push cart, why they'd want to lead on Big Macs. Obviously, the 5-year warranty is a pretty spectacular thing. But
sure.
What beyond
and,
that?
I do want to point out, Dan, that you know we have great competitors in this market. There's a number of really good pushcart brands that are out there. We have tremendous respect for the competition that we have. I think that it becomes what are you looking for, and what's important to you as a consumer. People drive Toyotas, they drive Porsches. Everybody has a personal preference of what appeals to them. I'm hoping that our brand and our technology appeals to a suitable percentage of the golf population, and we're seeing that. So we feel good about what we're doing. I think that what we are trying to do is service the consumer 100%. So if the consumer has a problem and they contact us with that problem, they no longer have to worry about it because we're going to take care of it.
Oh, I love
and,
that.
And I think that is that's the message that I would like to send to the golfer in the United States, is that if you do business with us, we're going to care for you in the way that you expect to be cared for. And if there's a problem or if you have any kind of an issue and you communicate it to us, we're going to be responsive.
I love that. Rick, one of the things I do at the end of my episode is open up the door to any questions you may have from me. You certainly are welcome to either use this time to ask those questions or just share your perspective on golf, if anything, to our listeners.
Well, I just think that, I admire what you guys have built as well. I read your reviews on all the different products. I think you are incredibly fair and incredibly knowledgeable about the products that you review. So I think you're a reliable source of that kind of information. So if I'm a golf consumer, I'm going to pay attention to the things that you guys review. So I think that's, you've been around a while now, and yeah. And all of us are very familiar with your business and the way that you entertain and communicate with the golf community. So that's awesome. And so we're happy to be here. We really appreciate you inviting us to be part of this.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. And I'm obviously looking forward to 2023, let alone 2024. Excited to see where Big Macs goes.
Well, just one final point I would raise is, I was looking at the Sports and Fitness Industry Association released some numbers for the sporting goods category in general. But, if I'm looking at the numbers, golf equipment sales rose 39.9% in 2021 over 2020. But the 2-year bump is over 50%. It's about 52%. And so what does that say? Well, for me, it says that, we've attracted a new element of golfers to the game, which thrills me to no end. I think that bringing new people into the sport is part of every brand's responsibility to interact as much as possible to try to grow the game. I think we've accomplished that. I think obviously COVID had a role to play in that, where people had to get outside and socially distance, and golf was one of the sports that they could safely participate in during the COVID surge. I think that our goal is now to retain those new golfers, keep them in the sport, make sure they're entertained, make sure they're enjoying themselves. And I think that's happening. So far, year to date, the numbers look really promising that there's not going to be a tailing of participation. I think rounds played is going to continue to be stable. I think that really bodes well for the game.
I agree. As long as I can get tee times, I love it. Well, Rick, thanks again. I really appreciate you coming on, and obviously best of luck with Big Macs, but also with your competitive play. That's exciting, and I'll certainly be rooting for you.
I appreciate it, Dan. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun.
Everyone out there, if you are playing golf this weekend, have a great time doing it. Go check out Big Macs carts as well as their bags, and see if they're a good fit for you. We'll chat with you next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.